This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Cruise Control, that car show here on BFM. And as usual, I have on the phone lines with me Arif Ruse, the man with the news. Hey, Arif.
Hello, Richard. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. And somewhere else, just over the horizon, is Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Hey, Daniel.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for having me back on the show this week.
So we've got some news for you coming up. We've got some stuff from the UK, all about how they are wanting to ban new petrol and diesel cars coming forward. We're talking about run flats and BMW next-gen vehicles. That's all coming up shortly. And of course, we have a used car buying guide from the Volkswagen Passat CC 1.8 TFSI.
It's been a while since we've done a used car review, actually.
It is indeed, yeah. So kick us off then, Arif. Give us some news.
Right, so one of the biggest news that came out last week, and it has to do with emissions and electric cars and all that stuff, is that the UK and Prime Minister, Mr. Boris Johnson, has brought forward their sales ban of new petrol and diesel cars from 2040 to 2030. So from 2030 onwards, it's either plug-in hybrid vehicles or battery electric vehicles or hydrogen vehicles.
So,
the funny thing is, they announced the 2040 deadline last year, and then January this year, Boris Johnson brought it forward to 2035, and then now it's 2030. The interesting thing about this, though, is that sales of plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, like the 530Es and all of those sales will continue until 2035, I suppose, to give some sort of buffer zone. Any thoughts on that so far?
I just want to say it's good news for the whole climate change thing and everything else, but it's also good news for a lot of Malaysian second-hand car dealers, because, you see, the prices of hybrids and electric cars have dropped in Malaysia in the last 5 years. So what happens to those cars? Nobody wants to buy them. So now they can send them back to UK and the people in UK can buy them secondhand from Malaysia. You know, instead of bringing secondhand UK cars here, it can now go back.
I thought you were going to have some little dig about the UK sending trash over to Malaysia, but you didn't. I'm surprised.
You said it, not me.
I did say it, you know, and I think it's despicable. But anyway, I think it's a good idea, but it also makes me wonder about, you know, Boris Johnson and his unable to make decisions kind of issue. You know, we've had this before with Brexit, which went on for Lord knows how long. And now he's like, oh, actually, I think maybe we should move things a little bit. It probably doesn't sound like that.
No, it doesn't sound like that.
But you know.
that sounds exactly like his uncle.
Probably. But now he's made this decision to make things a little bit earlier. Great stuff. You know, let's get on that thing. Let's start doing it. And of course, I'm guessing this is because he's looked around Europe and other countries around there have started moving things a little bit faster than he has.
Yeah, I was about to mention, because France from the beginning said 2030 is no petrol or diesel cars in their cities. Scandinavian countries, we all know about that. Germany, we all know about how hard they're pushing it. Just some stats about the division of engines or powertrains from the UK. 73.6% of new cars are still internal combustion engines. 20.9% of new car sales are plug-in hybrids, and 5.5% are electric vehicles. So it's actually quite more than I thought, honestly. I mean, about 26% of cars are electrified in the past 3-4 years that we've been talking about this. So that's not a bad pace. Additionally, some other statistics for you. In the European Union, the plug-in hybrid electric vehicle sales volume is projected to hit 1 million cars by the end of this month, November. And the biggest driver of the EU's PHEV shift is obviously Germany. 30% of cars sold in Europe that are plug-in hybrid vehicles or electric vehicles come from Germany. And this is because, you know, they offered this huge thing aggressively. Manufacturers began offering like OEM-funded subsidies. You had private owner rebates, benefits for company fleets. So that model actually is spreading across Europe. I mean, that's the reason why they're picking up so fast. And with the pace that is going at right now, we should be able to, you know, have at least half of our cars become some sort of electrified by 2030. It's definitely achievable.
Yeah, we should, on paper. Yeah.
Yeah, the funny thing is, you know, Europe keeps pushing this over and over and over. But I only, when you say Europe, that means the European Union. But, you know, like Russia, huge country, North America, Canada, South America, the whole of Asia, the whole of Middle East, no issue at all.
Because all of those areas that you've spoken about are petro-driven countries.
Exactly.
And areas, yeah.
Got to hunt for the oil, you know.
That's it.
But anyway, let's move on to the next story.
Okay.
This next story is about run flat tires, brought in by Daniel and his articles, as usual.
Right.
When we buy cars these days, usually you might have the option of switching between a run flat tire and a regular tire. So most premium cars are equipped with run flat tires. So Daniel, can you explain what they are to us?
Okay, to start off with, run flat tires means when you drive, you have a little puncture or you have a little sidewall damage, you don't have to stop and change your tire in the middle of a busy street or deserted street or in the middle of, you know, some godforsaken highway or whatever. You just need to keep on driving, not more than 80 kilometers an hour top speed. That's the preferred speed limit, but you can still drive to your next destination. The distance you can drive on a run flat tire with damage is about 100 to 110 kilometers. Many years ago, it all started with Bridgestone in 2002 when they decided to work with BMW to produce run flat tires for the BMW Z4 sports car. I don't know if you all remember this car.
Yeah.
You know, I remember going to Europe to test drive this car, and they were giving this whole briefing on run flat tires. And I was saying, there's no way you can drive a tire that is damaged for so far. But the thing is, we drove and drove and drove, and we never had a flat. So we never could experience that whole run flat experience. Now, a few years later, they launched it with the BMW 5 Series, which was a big hit. You know, the Chris Bangle 5 Series. Yep. And they came with run flat tires. And then we took a BMW out for test drive, and we had two flats at the same time.
No.
Yes. We were on a bad stretch of road from Johor Bahru to Kota Tinggi. Late at night, my kids were at the back, my wife in front. I had two flat tires. And here was the benefit of run flat tire. I didn't have to stop. I could still carry on my journey. But then when I reached my destination, the next morning when I went to numerous tire shops, none of them were selling run flat tires. Okay?
What happened when, you know, when the so-called blowout happened? What happened to the steering?
For the steering actually started wobbling a little bit, but generally, the tire kept its form and I could still move, but I couldn't move very fast. My damage was on the left, I think it was the left tire front. It was sidewall damage because there was a huge piece of debris on the road that just cut into it. On the right side, again, debris was a puncture.
Mm-hmm.
If both tires had a puncture, you go to a tire shop, even they can't fix a puncture on a run flat. Once a run flat has been damaged, you got to take it off. Okay. So now that tire shops, all the tire shops tell me no run flat tires. They tell me, okay, you have to go back to Johor Bahru and get a run flat tire from the BMW dealership or one of the specialized shops. But here comes the best part. It's a public holiday.
Oh, no.
No tires, no tire shop. I made the calls. Everyone said, come back 2 days from now, come back 2 days from now. And I'm already on a journey to go somewhere else the next day. So what I did, I went back to one of the tire shops and said, listen, take out these two run flats and give me two regular tires.
Yeah.
Oh.
I will buy two regular tires of the same size, but regular tires. Now, here's the other problem. Removing a run flat is not easy.
Mm.
It's very difficult. It's a lot of work. The amount of labor intensive work that a guy has to do. I mean, this is 6 years ago, was time consuming. And I just watched him and I said to myself, I don't want run flat tires. Anyway, he puts on two non-run flat tires and we continue our journey. Straight away, the car feels better. The ride is less harsh. The turn-in response is better on this BMW. And I'm thinking to myself, why do we bother with run flat tires? But you see, the technology was designed to save people in my situation.
Mm.
Okay? But of course, it must be a situation where shops are open, everywhere has run flat tires and so on and so forth. But BMW was an early adopter of the system. Now, fast forward to today, you get run flat tires all over the place.
Mm.
Yep.
Prices have dropped. Last time, the price was 2 or 3 times more than a regular tire. Now it's about maybe 15, 20% more. But the problem is this. The ride and harshness is still there.
Mm.
Okay? Even in new run flat tires. If you take a new BMW out, you can't tell the difference because they're all riding on run flats. But if you happen to take one out where the owner has removed the run flats and put back regular tires, immediately you get a a more pliant, a more comfortable riding car. That's number one. Number two, regular tires last longer than run-fed tires. Number three, the tires are still a bit more expensive.
I can totally vouch for everything you said about the poor ride handling and noise, because I did the same thing when I got my 3 Series. Oh. I immediately threw away the run-fed tires and replaced it with regular tires. The downside of that, obviously, is, especially with a lot of BMWs and Mercs, I think they fitted these cars with run-flat tires, took away the spare tire, and they just give you a little bottle of tire repair kit, a well-wisher, basically. And that's kind of annoying.
But you see, if you get a really good tire repair kit, and I know there are some really good ones in the market now, which are going for between 200 to 400 ringgit. If you get a really quality one with the quality material inside, which does not expire, you can actually get yourself up and running very quickly without any issue.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I really don't. If I bought a new car now, I would just tell the dealer to spec it with a bunch of different tires, if right. I'm honest.
But the reason why I wrote this article to start with wasn't to bring down or bring up this issue of run-flat tires as a bad tire. But I brought it up because when people come to me and complain to me about run-flat tires, it's always mostly the gentleman, you know?
Mm. Let me ask you a question. I was just going to say then. So who would be the kind of people that would say, no, I really want run flat tires? Are you suggesting that it's probably people who don't want to change their tires?
Well, you see, at all? It's not a question of don't want to change your tires. I mean, even if, like for you now, Richard, you know, you're an expat earning a big salary, you're driving a BMW and you have a flat. You don't want to go on your knees and get your hands dirty, clean this. You will stop one passerby in a motorcycle. Hey, boy, come here. I give you some money. You help me change my tire. You know what I mean? Or not? They don't want to physically do this job. Now, if I'm coming to work in my t-shirt and jeans, I don't mind getting my hands dirty to change a tire. But if I'm dressed in a suit, I don't want to get dirty.
Mm.
But people who are drivers, people who love to drive, at some point, they'll say, hey, you know, without run-flat tires, I'm getting better performance. I'm getting a more pliant ride, a more comfortable ride. I mean, these tires are a bit harsh. That's the problem.
Right, right.
If, say, you're driving around cities in Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, where the roads are beautiful, there's no potholes, there's no manhole covers sticking out and all that, you will not have an issue with run-flat tires because it's so smooth, so nice, you know? But on our roads, cannot.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Car launches.
We've got two this week. One of them was actually launched last week. And that one was the 2020 Mercedes AMG GLC 43 4MATIC Coupe facelift.
Well, that's a short name. just
very short name.
I'm going to remember that, of course.
Basically, it's Mercedes punya medium-sized SUV. And it's a coupe version, and they've given it a nip and tuck. So now it's 499,000 ringgit, and it's got more kit, but it's also 100,000 ringgit cheaper than the pre-facelift model. And this is because now this new car is locally assembled and it's under the SSD-free prices. So I don't know. I think the car looks a lot better because it's an AMG model. It comes with a few AMG bits like the Pan Americana vertical grille slats. It's got big wheels, quad pipes, AMG steering wheel, a bunch of carbon fiber interior trim here and there. What you need to know is that the car comes with the same engine as the C43, a 3-liter V6 bi-turbo, souped up a bit more to make a bit more power, 390 horsepower, 520 newton meters of torque, and perhaps one gear too many, but 9-speed AMG automatic gearbox. As usual, the car will get AMG air ride suspension, Apple CarPlay and Android Auto as standard, which is really nice. And a full driving assistance kit, which includes adaptive cruise, lane centering assist, and blind spot monitoring. Overall, I think it's a pretty good package, especially they equipped the car with a lot more things and still made it 100,000 ringgit cheaper.
All right.
The other car that was launched literally today, I think, was the Lexus LC 500 convertible.
That's the perfect car for Richard.
It's going to cost 1.35 million ringgit, though. It's a lot of money.
What? That isn't the perfect car for Richard, Daniel. Come on.
It's a beautiful convertible. You'll fit perfectly in it because it's got no roof. You know, you will not hit your head. It looks gorgeous. It's fast. It's got a V8 engine. You can drive up and down from work and you'll be the boss, you know, in this car.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the Lexus LC is the most fancy Lexus that you can get today. When you click into the link, Richard, you'll find a beautiful mustard yellow color that is actually quite nice.
Mm.
I see an Audi TT that looks like a Lexus.
Oh, no. You just insulted Lexus with that word. The Audi TT is for you to buy for your future son and daughter. This is new.
I mean, don't get me, it looks, come on, you got to agree with me on that. It does look a little bit like it, body shape wise.
Yeah, it's a bit futuristic. But you see, the Audi is curved. This has got no curved sides. It's all very sharp edge, very pointy, pointy.
It looks like a Wasp then.
Oh, yes.
It's nice, don't get me wrong, it looks aggressive.
But is it nice enough for you to buy it?
No, it's 1.4 million ringgit. No. Come on.
But that's what taxes all paid.
Good for
buy
it.
Buy one in Langkawi.
Buy one in Langkawi.
This is not the Langkawi price. This is the price in Semenanjung, Malaysia.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, this flagship sports car from Lexus, they launched the LC500 Coupe, I think, last year or something like that. And we all thought it was really nice. Everybody thinks it's probably the best Lexus to come out these days. What they did with this convertible is they chopped the roof off, moved the metal into the chassis, and attached the convertible roof. And now with this convertible roof, you can move it up or down as long as you're under 15 kilometers an hour. And it will do its movements in under 15 seconds, which is quite nice. The engine is something that's quite a rarity these days. It's a naturally aspirated V8, 5 whole liters. Better start wishing for some money to pay off that road tax. A 470 horsepower, 540 newton meters of torque via a 10-speed automatic. 0 to 100 in 4.9 seconds. So all of these numbers mean that it's pretty much par for the course in terms of performance. It's just very luxury. Very, very luxury.
Yes.
Doesn't want to be super fast. It's got stitched leather everywhere, real aluminium bits all around the car, which I know Daniel loves. And then we have adaptive air suspension as well, which is quite nice. So yeah, it's pretty much okay.
He's very quiet.
Well, you know, it's good enough, isn't it?
It is. I think if you don't want an Aston Martin, but you want a car like an Aston Martin, you should get one of these.
So for Richard, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Let's take a short break here then. When we come back, we'll do global launches. There's a scooter that I quite like, which we'll speak about very shortly. You're tuned into Cruise Control, which is the car show here on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone lines with Arif Ruse and Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. We'll be right back after these messages.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control. I'm Rich Bradbury. If you're just joining us, just before the break, we had some news about run flat tyres. We're speaking a little bit about them. How the UK are to ban the sale of new petrol and diesel cars from 2030. And we had a look at the Mercedes-AMG GLC 43 4MATIC Coupe and its facelift, and the Lexus LC500 convertible. Now we're at global launches. Arif, what have you got for us?
Yeah, so last week, BMW held this huge 3-day launch event, digital launch event. It's a global thing, so they invited journalists and media from all around the world and gave them a link and gave us some little gifts, which I'm very thankful for.
Very nice of them. Very nice of them.
The whole event was basically centered around their next generation vehicles. Cyberpunk 2077, the BMW edition, some people are saying. They launched 3 different things. Number one is the scooter that will change all scooters.
This is what they're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called the BMW Definition CE04. I don't know what their name is all about, but it's basically an electric scooter that's kind of looks like any other scooter, but slightly more futuristic.
What? It does not look like any other scooter.
It looks like something out of Judge Dredd.
I was just going to say that, Daniel. Right. Yes, exactly. Right. It looks like a scaled down version of the Judge Dredd motorbike.
I would love to have this.
Me too.
I mean, it looks like any kind of scooter in a sense that, like, it's small size. It's something that we're used to in Malaysia.
Have you seen the seat on this thing? It's a bench seat, which you very rarely get on scooters nowadays anyway. And it comes with a jacket. You get a special jacket.
But, well, the scooter is very nice. It's all electric. It's got these 2 little small slim battery packs, which, again, I guess might come out from Cyberpunk 2077 or Judge Dredd, which is very nice. But this isn't what we're focused on because they've got 2 other very controversial launches which happened. One of them is called the Mini Vision Urban Out. Urban Out as in Urban Auto, but without the O. And you can have a look at that. It's pretty out there, I think. It's basically an MPV and it's got this bulbous round shape.
Yeah.
Sliding doors, etc. Tires that and wheels that don't look like tires or wheels. It's got a flat front end with some sort of lighting that looks like mold. but I think it looks pretty cool. I mean, it's got a whole huge glass roof and a glass dome thing. Probably won't make it into production, but this is supposed to preview a few design features that the next generation of mini electric cars in 2023 will have. But this whole concept came from an interpretation or a new interpretation of the clever use of space mantra that was used since the launch of the original Mini in 1959. Because you know how they put the engine in a different place, which opened up the car for more space, which is why people love the Mini. So does that make sense? I mean, the car, does it reflect that to you guys?
I think it's non-reflective because the paint that they want to use is completely matte. But that's a silly little joke. It's very futuristic looking, like you say, in a way that it almost looks like it belongs in some kind of cartoon or if it was being driven on the moon or something. You know, it doesn't look like a traditional car at all.
You know, to me, it looks like a prototype from Renault or Citroën.
Yeah, actually, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Because only the French will come up with something so outlandish like this, especially with the color combinations and everything. But, you know, I think Mini, you know, is trying to get on the good side of the French people, so they designed it like this.
It looks like a greenhouse on wheels.
It looks like water bubbles might come out.
Yeah,
from its,
but you know what? As weird as it looks, I like it. It has some kind of strange appeal. I've got to say that.
You can park it next to your BMW scooter.
Yeah.
anyway, the real big thing that came out from this launch was their new flagship electric model. It's called the BMW iX, and it's...
Go on.
I mean, okay, it's a very, very bold design. The more I look at it, the more I like it. But they attached a social media campaign, or rather an advert campaign, that kind of threw people into a huge frenzy. So first things first, have a look at the car and tell me what you like and don't like about it, because... personally, I love the proportions. I love the way it sits. I love the bodywork, the shape. It's just a shame about the face, right?
Actually, for me, right? I like it.
Yep, I like it.
Front, rear, side, back, everything, I like it. The only thing is when I looked at the rear three-quarter area where the back of the side window meets the rear back, it looks very Citroën DS to me.
Yes, it does. It does. And I think it has to do with like how big and massive that rear end is.
I think it also depends on what color you were to get it in as to how nice it looks.
Yeah, I like the deep red.
You see, I don't like the deep red. I actually like the silver blue edition or whatever. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, but you see, I'm going with my culture. I like the deep red.
nothing wrong with that.
we like a bit of color in our lives, you know, like our movies.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we are actually a part of the minority because a lot of car critics have come down hard on BMW about this and their previous cars. You know, the i4 concept, the new M4, lots of people didn't like that. The 7 Series, the BMW X7, a lot of people really hated that. So with this campaign, BMW's plan was to challenge all these critics. For example, the campaign in a poster and the video asked you, the viewer, the audience, what's your reason not to change alongside a picture of the BMW iX? So a Twitter user replies, well, because I don't want to drive a slit-eyed Allegro with squirrel teeth. Ooh. BMW social media replies, in order to go new ways, you sometimes have to try new looks.
Oh, cheeky.
Another person on Twitter replied, this nose is just ridiculous. BMW replies, do you mean it took ridiculously long to come up with such a great design?
Oh.
But, you know, I'm going to say this. You know, over the years, whenever BMW does something a little bit drastic in terms of design, people come and, you know, make all kinds of comments. And then if you dissect, I'm talking about Malaysia, if you dissect the people making these comments, these are people who are driving 30, 40, 50-year-old BMWs who can't afford a new one.
Yeah.
And then within weeks, the new car is sold out. You see them on the road. People are happy. New owners are, you know, taking selfies and everything is lovely. So I got to say something about this. I don't like to comment about design because design is in the eye of the beholder.
And it tends to grow. It tends to grow on you as the world changes.
Yes.
I bet in 5 years' time there'll be fantastic things.
Exactly. I mean, like me and Richard, we like the BMW scooter. You don't like it, but the way you're working and your salary is not going up, that would be the only BMW you can afford.
Fair but harsh. Anyway, some details of the new BMW electric flagship car. It's basically going to introduce a new modular scalable architecture, basically a new chassis on which the future of the BMW group will be built. So it's an aluminium carbon fiber platform that we've seen in the BMW i3, BMW i8, that can take any powertrain, either a three-cylinder petrol engine, a six-cylinder V8, you can put batteries in it, you can run it completely on batteries and electric motors, or you can power it with hydrogen. So that's the big selling point of this car and this whole chassis, which is it's fantastic.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. The new iX will be powered by two electric motors. It's got 500 horsepower, 5 seconds flat in the 0 to 100, and a range of about 300 miles, which is about 450 kilometers, something like that. The thing that they pointed out in the press release is that 10 minutes of charging will get you 120 kilometers on an ordinary electric charger that you will find on highway. That's pretty cool, because if you're on your last legs, you just want to get home, you just have to stand around for 10 minutes. They focus on aerodynamics. They even say in the press release that the front end can close all its vents to aid drag coefficiency. The stuff like a flat underbody, a rear diffuser, and aero wheels gives you an extra 20 kilometers, they say.
So they're not just for looks then?
No.
Mm.
Interesting thing though, with the new BMW electric cars is that, you know, electric cars don't really have sounds other than the little whir in the first few kilometers an hour, right?
Right.
Mm.
And a lot of people will miss the sound of the petrol engines and exhaust sounds and all those things. So BMW thought of that and said, you know, instead of electric cars being kind of like the epitome of silence and traveling in calmness, BMW actually hired Hans Zimmer to make a few sounds. And here's what they sound like. So what do you guys think of that?
It sounds like a car with a twist on it. I like it.
It does, doesn't it?
You know, I was thinking, you know, was there going to be any change in the sound quality or anything like that? And it sounded exactly like any other BMW.
Honestly, yeah. There's a hint of that classic BMW six-cylinder sound in that. It just smoothened out. They added a bit of bass here and there. And if you notice in that clip as well, when you go faster and faster, because the car doesn't really have gears, it sort of like moves up another key or another note. I don't know. I'm not really inclined to know all of these things. But
with Hans Zimmer contributing to it, I expected strings and hammers and, you know. No.
But the question now is, was that really the car sound?
Apparently that is, yeah. I mean, exactly the car sound.
We'll have to get BMW Malaysia to loan us the car to actually check on this.
Hey, that's a good idea. Yes. That's a good idea.
I think we've got to work on that.
Yeah. That's all the news that BMW gave this week. I mean, they gave us a lot of news. I'll give them that much.
They gave us a lot this week. But you know what? We should probably move on from one German to a set of other Germans.
Yes, we do.
In part two, where we are right now, and we've finally got around to a used car buying review. It's the Volkswagen Passat CC 1.8 TFSI. Daniel.
Well, gentlemen, you know, we've been looking at Volkswagen. Their growth in Malaysia has still there, but, you know, not moving very far ahead. But their previous cars were doing very, very well, especially this car. I remember when this car was first launched, the first Passat CC. Were you guys around to notice it?
Yeah. A lot of people bought one.
Okay, so the first one was about 10 years ago. That was with a 2-liter TFSI engine, which is the same engine used in the Golf GTI. That was, I mean, first of all, the design was handsome. And a lot of people even said it copied the Mercedes-Benz CLS.
Yeah, because of the coupe shape.
Yeah, with the coupe shape. And you know, a lot of people said, you know, how is anybody going to sit at the back? But even someone as tall as Richard can sit at the back, not very comfortably, but still you can get into the back. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty decent car, decent size, shape and everything else. That car, when it was launched, sold like crazy. And even BMW and Mercedes in Malaysia were a little bit worried because they took away a bit of sales. But then it slowed down once they came to the second generation. And today, I want to concentrate a little bit on the second generation. I'll explain why a bit later. So this is the facelift Passat CC 1.8 TFSI. Okay?
Yeah.
Slightly smaller engine, but the power delivery all almost the same. And 7-speed gearbox instead of the older 6-speed gearbox. And the price at launch was quite surprising. $225 for the base model, $243 for the top the range model. Now, at that time, this car was priced neck to neck with the BMW 3 Series, Mercedes C-Class, Audi A4, and the Lexus IS250.
It was kind of, I wouldn't say out there sort of proposition, but it was a really, really good alternative because if you bought any of the other German cars, you know, they were a bit small and they were quite normal. Compared to a Passat, you're getting something that looks really sporty and really cool.
Because at the time, the Mercedes was a little bit, you know, basic, you know?
I guess we don't really want to say it, but yeah.
Yeah, and the Audi A4 didn't look that much different from the previous B7 version, you know?
Yeah.
And the Lexus IF was nice, but it didn't look better than the older IS. But the 3 Series was still quite a handsome car. So there were a lot of buyers who were swayed across. And then, of course, Volvo didn't have a very popular S60, so only a handful were sold.
Yeah.
So this car sold very well. But the problem is, within months of its launch, problems of the earlier Passat CC started cropping up with owners on social media, at workshops, at dealerships, because why? They were all having after-sales issues, primarily with the gearbox.
Yeah, we've heard all about that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the dealerships could not handle this. And this is why this current model did not sell as well as it should have sold. Because why? The shape was still sexy. The interior was well-built. This car, material fit and finish was superb. But people walked into Volkswagen showrooms and walked out thinking, I'm going to have problems with after sales. I'm going to have problems with spare parts because people of 3-4-year-old cars are starting to complain. Mm-hmm. So sales slowed down. Things got a little bit quiet. And then they stopped selling the Passat CC and they just started selling the regular Passat sedan.
Okay? Yeah.
Now we come back to the used car value of this Passat CC. Now, if you go into the classifieds today, you'll see a lot of these CCs for sale. But I want to focus only on the 2012 to 2015 model, the 1.8. And I'll explain again why. Because this is the only model which you'll still be able to get a car loan. Mm. If you look at the older 2010, 2009 model, you cannot get a car loan anymore. So taking out cash for 30,000, 40,000 ringgit in this climate, a lot of people will say, no, I don't think so. But with the 2013-2014 model, which is the 1.8, you can still get a car loan. So we looked into the classifieds and the prices are ranging between 45,000 to 55,000 ringgit.
Yeah.
But here comes the funny thing. All of them seem to carry the same mileage. If you go into the classifieds and if you see the mileage of these cars, all these,
yeah.
I mean, not all, nearly 80% of them seem to have the same mileage rating.
What would it be?
It would be used car dealers just cutting and pasting.
Allegedly.
So it all says 80 to 89,000, the mileage. So I thought of only two things. Because of the age of the car, what a lot of these dealers have done is they've wound back the odometer to what they think should be the best average mileage for a car of this age.
Mm.
Yeah.
The third problem is it's been noted with a lot of workshops and after sales that these cars, once they hit 100,000 plus kilometers, you'll have problems with the gearbox, you might have problems with the engine management system, you might even have problems with the pistons. So to quash any worry from the future buyer, they wind back the mileage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that could be the third option. I'm just giving you some guesses. I'm not saying this is true, okay? And then if you read the classifications of these cars, all of them seem to carry about the same words. King of car condition. Best unit in town. 100% worth to buy. Careful owner. One owner. You know? So, again, they're just cutting and pasting the same thing over and over and over for all their cars. So, don't take it seriously, ladies and gentlemen. Now, put aside all what the used car salesman will do. You must understand now, when you take this car for a test drive, the initial test drive, you're not going to be able to evaluate much in terms of mechanical breakdown. But I'm just giving you a quick decision whether you want to carry on with taking this car to your mechanic to evaluate or just walking away from the used car dealer. First, they must give you at least 2 years maintenance record. Because the 2 year maintenance record will show you the previous odometer rating, will show you what has been done in the last 2 years. So roughly a car of this age, in the fifth or sixth year, because now it's already coming to the seventh or eighth year, in the fifth or sixth year, which is after warranty, the previous owner must have done something to the steering rack, pistons, engines, gearbox, if it's been faulty. If not, he would have done preventive maintenance. So it should reflect in the service record, right?
Yep.
The next thing is, you want to go for a test drive. Now, a lot of these dealers will say, put a deposit first. The reason why they ask you for a deposit is because they know this is a difficult car to sell. If you decide not to buy it, they'll tell you, hey, mister, your deposit cannot refund. But you can use your deposit to buy another car from us. You understand?
Nice. Yeah.
So they get you to come back to them. So you said, no, if you want a deposit, I'm going somewhere else. If you want my driving license and IC photostat, I can give you, no problem. And of course, I cross it. But I'm not going to give you money just to test drive your car. So
wow,
that is not going to happen. Now, once you get to test drive the car, get into the car, you must understand one thing. Volkswagens like this model come with beautiful build quality. But after 6-7 years in our weather, it's a common problem in Volkswagens. Buttons get grummy, knobs get scratched up. The center console, which is a shiny bit, there'll be a lot of scratches because of fingernails. Door grab handles would have lost their paint and shine. You know, so you'll be looking at a car with a little bit of grime on the inside, and this might turn you off. Don't be worried. You can easily replace all these buttons and knobs for about 450 ringgit only.
Mm.
Because I've done it with my old Golf GTI.
Aha.
Okay. The next problem is the original radio system. Very common problem. The LCD screen will get very misty to the point where you can't even see some of the, you know, you can't see the 89.9. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. But they work. The sound quality and all still good. Don't worry. You don't have to change it. I had the same problem. I got that screen fixed for just 250 ringgit. Okay. So generally, the interior of the car should be still good. Now you start the car. These cars were built so well. When you start the car, you should not hear anything. It should be just pure silence. Okay? Now, keep the aircon blower at number one. I know it's hot, but keep it at number one. Because when the aircon blower is too loud, you can't hear what's going on the outside of the car.
Okay? Yeah.
Switch off the radio. Take the car for a slow drive. Put it in D, automatic gearbox. Take it for a slow drive. Start listening for little noises, little things that doesn't sound right. If everything is smooth and wonderful, as you pick up speed, then of course you can put the aircon blower up and you can put your radio up. But generally, I tell people, don't use the radio on a test drive. When you're sitting still in the dealer's yard, you can play around with the radio. But once on your test drive, switch off the radio, because you know the radio is not the important feature of the car. It's a car. It's the mechanical part of the car.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, when you test drive this car, If you're able to go up to 110, 120, you realize one thing, there is no wind noise. 130, still no wind noise. But if you start hearing a lot of wind noise, that means the rubbers along the doors are all gone. Because why? These are very easy to wear item.
Yep.
But if you don't hear any wind noise, if everything is still nice and tight, you know you've got a car that's been well looked after.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes the price. Now, we saw one. After seeing so many, we spotted one that was going for 49,000 ringgit, 2014 model, which means you still can get a loan. But I'm sure you can bargain it down to 45,000 ringgit simply because it's not easy to sell these Volkswagens. And if you can get it for 44,000 ringgit, if everything is as good as I say it should be, it actually is a good buy, because how much more can you lose in the next 5 years?
Fair enough.
You know? Because we're talking about buying a car for 20% of its original value.
Yeah.
One thing that some people might, question though, is why would you get a CC over the regular Passat, or why wouldn't you just hit straight for a Golf GTI, which costs about the same?
True, but you see, some people actually want a four-door sedan.
A sleek one.
A sleek one. And then, you know, there are some people who are very drawn to this shape.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like for me, when I saw it, I really loved the shape. I thought this is a car that could stay as a family car for 10 years without aging.
Mm. I like the shape of the Passat, for sure.
Yeah. its spiritual successor, the Arteon, still looks good. And even that's kind of like a tweaked version of this, exactly. Isn't it?
If you took one of these Passats, this 6-year-old Passat, and you gave it the new Arteon gold color, and you put some new rims on it, a lot of people will still say, hey, there's an Arteon, you know?
Mm.
So in other words, with the newer facelift models, right. You know, everybody had those problems with the DSG gearboxes. Are they a problem in these newer models? Because these gearboxes seem to have like brought down Volkswagen Malaysia's reputation for quite some time, you know?
Okay, to start off with, you know, even with the Golf GTI or even with the Jetta and everything else, if the previous owner has done the preventive maintenance, used the right liquids, followed the service schedules which were not given by the dealerships, and if possible, did not get a dealer that played them out. I'm sorry to use this word play out, but a lot of dealers played out customers with using the wrong lubricants and not giving them the proper attention that it needed.
Mm.
Follow the SOPs.
Follow the SOPs. And that is why you had so many cars breaking down. And then once the breakdown happens, replacement gearbox is expensive because you can't repair the gearbox. There's no repair kit. You got to replace the whole gearbox.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are a lot of other workshops that even I go to, who can fix these things easily without any hassle. But when the car is under warranty, you're forced to go back to some of these dealers who did not do a good job. But now, after warranty, if you go to the right guy, the preventive maintenance you do will straight away solve all these problems. So again, the service record is very important. Because once you see the service record, you know who they've gone to and whether it's someone reliable. And you can always contact me if you want to know a reliable place to take your car.
Daniel's telephone number is?
It's on the website.
It's on the website. All right, we have come to the end of the show. It's a pretty long one this week.
Yes.
If you've missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you would normally listen to it. I recommend the BFM app, which is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. And if you can't do it there, you can listen back to us on Spotify. This has been Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury, on the phone lines with Arif Ruz and, of course, Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. We're back, same time, same place, next week here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.